You're listening to the Profit Connections Podcast. Entrepreneurs and franchise owners, you'll want to tune in. If you're looking to create a rock-solid business, sick of being stuck on the plateau, and ready to kick it up more than just a notch, you're in the right place. I'm your host, Sharon Galuzzo, and I believe in unleashing your full potential to create resilient, successful businesses that in turn make significant positive impacts in our world. Welcome to the Profit Connections Podcast. Hey, welcome back. We are here with the expert today, and I am so excited to introduce you to Rob Lang. I'm going to read his bio for you. For over 35 years as the expert, which happens to be trademarked, folks, Rob Lang has specialized in working with entrepreneurs and business owners to create the business behind their skills, talents, and areas of specialty while positioning themselves as authorities and experts in their field through the use of press and media, creating a business that can be monetized for sustained success. Welcome, Rob. So glad that you're here. A couple other things, just some highlights from the bio that I didn't read. Rob has been doing this for a very long time, even though he looks like he's 20. He's been doing this for 35 years. So when he says expert, he has been there and done that with so many famous folks. And I told him before the interview that I will twist his arm to share some stories with us about those people. Because, you know, who doesn't love a great celebrity story? And so we'll get him to talk, to open up about some of those things as we get into the conversation. And I just want to bring to the mic right now, welcome Rob, expert. Tell us the first thing we need to know about press and media for building our businesses.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Aaron. It's great to be here. I think the first thing about press and media is, you know, there are so many different marketing and promotion and ways to try to get exposure and get your name and your business out there. And some of them can be costly. When you go into them, you don't know what the results may be. Will there be a return on investment? Was it a waste of time and effort? But the one thing that is continually worked over and over again without fail is the use of the press and media. Now, the press and media is a very it's over 500 years old, and current press and media, if you think back, the last 100 years, we invented TV, we invented radio, we invented the internet. I mean, really, things have really just taken off, online media. So media is very powerful, it's influential, but most people don't think of it as a business tool, something that you can use in your business. And once you understand how the media works, that's kind of the first part of it, is they work very specific way. We were talking off the air about structure and systems, and that's what they thrive on. And if you can learn their structure and systems and learn how to tap into that, this is a resource that you can use over and over again, and it's absolutely free every time you do it. You never have to spend a penny to pay for ads or media buys or any of that. Once you learn what I teach in my coaching and my program, it's something you can do over and over again. And, you know, you hear experts or gurus talk about you got to keep top of mind awareness and keep in front of your audience. This is an excellent way to do that. And over the last, 15, 20 years, everybody's talking about in the movie has been to social media, but what I'm talking about is mainstream media. Because when you get real good mainstream feature length coverage of you and your business, you can take that and cross it over to social media and it gives you content for both. So it's the best of both worlds.
That's really cool. But I'm gonna challenge you here, Rob, because they're out there thinking it and I'm going to say it.
Sure.
Tell me that an HVAC company or a dentist office or a dry cleaner can get press and media. Like, and also talk about what press and media is. Like, and tell us, like, can we really get exposure that way?
You can. And the first thing is, like I say, the media is influential, it's powerful, it's credible. And when you are in the media, that is reflective on you. The media has a lot of credible sources. That's why you can't just pick up the phone and say, hey, I'd like you to do a story on me. The media has wire services, media associate news associations, all of these credible and approved resources that they know they can get their media, their content ideas from. And that's why it's important to tap into the way they operate. But in reality, one of the things I take the greatest pride in is, you know, I started working with entertainers. And I don't mean to slam them, because I was one of them, and I have a lot of friends that are, but they are the worst business people you've ever dealt with. Only in the sense, and if you think about it, it makes sense. They're creative types. They want to focus on their area of creativity. And they look at the business side of things as, you know, I don't want to be bogged down with all this tedious, you know, business operational stuff. So they hire managers and agents, everybody handle it for them. And a lot of them, you hear all these stories about how they get screwed out of millions of dollars or taken advantage of or whatever. But the point is in the 38 years I've been doing this, I have yet to meet a business that I haven't been able to help. And I've been challenged. I've been challenged. But you mentioned dry cleaners. I work with the movement today is online business. And I always feel like, well, I know that's what all the gurus say. And you'll find out as we talk, there's a lot of things the gurus tell you that I seem to be opposite of or don't agree with. Mm-hmm. One of them is niching down very small. And I think that's fine at a certain point. But I think the press and media allows you to reach a broader, wider, loyal audience. These media outlets have the most loyal audiences of anybody I've ever met. And while I have worked with famous people that use the media to become media personalities or whatever, celebrities, a lot of people just want to do this in their local market, their niche or industry. So where I've worked with athletes and celebrities, I also have worked with the local dry cleaner, the local car wash, the local baker, many, many realtors, and businesses of every type, whether they just want to use it for exposure and visibility, whether they want to use it for the credibility, whether they want to use it to stand out from their competition, separate themselves from the competition, or stand out from all the noise. There's a lot of benefits that the press and media can bring. And I think that's one of the things. But there are ways one of the things we do is we teach you how to look at the media differently than you and I are just defaultly trained to look at them. Mm-hmm. We look at them as, oh, we watch this TV station for our news programs and maybe entertainment, sitcoms, talk shows, reality show, radio we listen to for music, maybe some personality, magazines. Well, we like Vogue because it's all about the latest fashion. You know, mm-hmm. We receive our media the way that they intend it to be. But what we do is we look a little bit beyond that and look at how the media can actually help businesses. Now, let's say you were a dry cleaner. Mm-hmm. You know, there are several things that the media really likes and welcomes and embraces. The local business person done well, doing good. Women in business. Anything that's self-empowering. Anything that prevents, especially with seniors, but everybody, prevents scams or frauds or you know, consumer awareness things, health and wellness, education. All of these are topics that the media loves. So if you can adapt your message to something like that. So I have worked with a dry cleaner who said the same thing as you. How can the media help me? I'd love to do that, because he wanted to dominate. I guess when you're a dry cleaner, you only care about like a 5 to 7 mile radius,
right?
Which, you know, he told me, and I said, okay, well, we could dominate your 5 or 7 mile radius, but we could also get you to the point where people drive from across town or two towns over. He didn't believe it was possible. But what we did is we tapped into different hot buttons for the media. And one of them is health and wellness. And I said, for a dry cleaner, you should always be able to tap into spring cleaning. You know, get your new summer clothes out, wash your dry clean your other clothes, your drapes, your curtains, your sheets. This is a great time for your sheet, because a lot of people don't do their sheets and drapes and curtains enough. And you know, offer tips and offer why this is healthy and what happens if you don't. So he adapted his whole dry cleaning He created a package, actually, a spring package, a fall package, and he taps into the medium. That's what I'm saying. This isn't a one-time thing for PR. This is something you do all the time. Things that you wouldn't think that he could tap into, he even tapped into back to school, which is a big media topic in, you know, August, you know.
Right.
So he does the spring thing in March and April. He does the fall thing in October and November. He does back to school in the summer. And then he'll do something after the holidays, you know, like, you know, start the new year off with, you know, a clean home and healthy health and wellness and caring, get rid of the mites and the dust and your, you know, all of this stuff. Mm-hmm. So he really found a way to tap into, and that's just using the health and wellness area. You know, there's other things that he can tap into too. And we do this with so many different things. When you see the media's different opportunities each and every month, you see like, oh, this is a true marketing or promotional medium that I can tap into over and over again as needed. And now I've got businesses that are creating their services based on the media tie-in. So they know that, okay, well, if I'm going to be a baker. Okay, well, I know that there's going to be graduation. I know there's going to be holidays at Christmas and Thanksgiving. And they create media campaigns based around this, and they create their products based around the media campaigns. So, and this is something that's available to anybody.
I'm going
to
jump in here really quick because I want to define something. Okay. Rob and I talked about this before the conversation that I might jump in. So when you say media, define that for us. Like, what does that mean? Because my brain is going 16 different places. Sure. And I want to make sure that we're defining for everyone what it is that you're talking about when you say media. Does that mean writing a press release? Does that mean like what areas of media?
Great question.
Break that down.
Yes. When I say press and media, I'm talking about having you and your business featured on TV, radio, podcasts, newspapers, magazines, and online media. And I don't just mean a mention or a blurb. I mean feature press and media coverage. So in other words, if it's a magazine or a newspaper, it's a full story, hopefully a cover story, a front page story, usually with photos. And it's all about you and your business. And it's same for magazines. On TV, it could be a guest segment on a talk show or an information segment on a news program or like a morning show. Radio the same way. It could be a segment on a talk show. It could be just a segment you do for fun with the morning and afternoon drive team. It's to feature press and media coverage about you and your business. And as far as the press release, what that is a vehicle or a tool to reach the media. And we teach several of those in my programs. There's a misconception, you know, not everything on the internet is right or correct. And there's a misperception that all I need to do is search the internet for a blank press release, fill in my information and send it out, and it'll get me in the media. And that does not work. It works rarely, if at all. But, you know, right. Even a broken watch is correct twice a day. So you could possibly luck out for a second there. But I had a radio station for a while. And this is in the day of fax machines, faxing, you know, and people would fax their press releases to the radio station, and we would get between 200 and 300 a day. And right next to the fax machine, we had a big 55-gallon, like a janitor's garbage can on wheels. And when a fax would come in, we'd look at it and we would know within 1 second whether we were going to be interested or throw it away. And only of the 200 or 300, we only probably really kept and considered 7 or 8 of them. Right. Because the first thing the media does is they look at the formatting. And if it's formatted the way, I call it the language of the media. If it's formatted in their language, then it's something that they may consider to read 15 or 20 seconds to see what it's about. If it's not, they don't even look at it. It just goes right in the garbage, because for them to use it, they would have to rewrite the whole thing and structure it. And it would probably take an hour of time that they just can't do for everyone. Right. So I think that's the big thing is press releases can work. It is, I guess, if you were to look back over the last 100 years, it's the longtime staple. But I would say 99.9% of the people don't know how to use a press release, right, don't know that there's maybe 8 or 10 different types of releases, and you've got to find the one that's right for your business, your message, and the media outlet that you're seeking.
Right. So it is what you're saying is that it is something that you can break into. It's not necessarily intuitive. Because yeah, like you could go get a template online. Sure. That's not necessarily going to fit the audience that you're aiming for. I think that press releases, if you just want to make sure that you get your name out on the search engines, press releases can be great for that, whether they reach anybody or not. So they don't have a no value. They can build up your online presence. However, one that's formatted for the media that you're trying to reach, in the language that they are looking for, that's going to catch their attention. I have heard statistics, I don't know them and you might know them, about the numbers of emails reporters and producers and those kind of people get every single day, and the frequency of them even clicking on it. Like, you have to have the right subject line or you have to have something that's going to catch their eye. I mean, it's in everything. I was just on a cruise a few months ago for marketing and speaking, and we were talking about TED Talks and just getting a TED Talk approved. Like, the title of your TED Talk is
the whole application.
There's every single way you need to communicate with people. It can be done any old way. However, if you want to do it successfully, finding the expert that can help you get there is the value, because otherwise you're wasting time and energy. So that's why I love that you're here and you're talking about media today. And there are so many other areas. And I love that we're speaking about something that most business owners are like, yeah, I can't do that. That's too expensive. It's too much work. I'm not going to get through. And that that is that area of that. However, if you partner with the right expert, then actually you can have all of those things that you're talking about. And I really love that you're opening up what people think about as the old media. We're talking about television. We're talking about radio. Yes, this is a podcast. A lot of people get their stuff on podcasts now.
Absolutely.
So you're old media and new media. And so we think news, we think that print and television and radio are dead. Mm-hmm. And that's actually not true. Can you talk a little bit about how viable those media are still?
Sure. A couple things you said that you hit the nail right on the head. First of all, there's some misconceptions that the press and media is only for celebrities or major companies that spend a lot of money, and that's simply not true. That you have to be an expert or have a lot of great talent. And my joke to that is usually, but look at the Kardashians. I mean, they use the media for their, and I don't mean that as a slam, but my point is, they didn't have a, they weren't a big company when they started, but they used the media and of course tapped into that. But the media is very credible. It's very, I like your distinction between the new media and the old media, and when you tie it into like headlines. In my course, I take not just the different types of press releases and break them down so you know what's best for you, but I go to the, and this has come up over years of working with students and clients, I break down every single line of a press release. And I'm a big believer in business. While it's important to know what to do, it's equally and sometimes more important to know what not to do and why. Yeah. Because if somebody makes a wrong detour and they don't know it, they just keep going down this wrong path. And oh my gosh, to get them back to the point where they made that decision just to go forward is a major effort in itself. But so we break down the press release. And when you were talking about headlines and stuff, in our emails and in our subject line, that's a headline. And mm-hmm. the people that created headline was the media. So that's why when they look at something, they look at a headline differently than you and I would, because to them, that's the opening catch. You know, if that's interesting and intriguing, they'll want to read on. If not, you'll lose them there. So, mm-hmm. but I think the difference is with media, is a couple of things have changed just in the 38 years I've done it. Number one, people have a much shorter attention span. Right. So that means your hook, your angle, your headline, you've got to really catch them much quicker. And that's a good thing, because I think this is something that we can utilize in all aspects of our business. Email campaigns, when we speak, those first minute and a half when you come on stage is so crucial to keeping your audience, connecting with them, building rapport, and having them engage and be interested in what you have to say. And speaking is the catalyst to all business. If we can't speak about our business, we're not in business, you know. Mm-hmm. And we speak in different ways. We speak in the print, we speak on video, we speak in audio. I even get some people, you know, I mentioned earlier some of the challenges. I've had a guy that came to me that had an Italian restaurant, has an Italian restaurant, but he's not from this country, and he spoke very broken English, and he's very aware of that. Mm-hmm. And he said, I really want this press and media because I would love this to work for us, but I can't do it. There's no way. I told him, I said, one of the things I cover in the program is it doesn't even have to be you. It can be a spokesperson. It can be an employee. It can be your spouse. In his case, he had an adult daughter, I think in her early 30s, that was the hostess there. Mm-hmm. And she spoke. She was born here and she was raised here and she spoke perfect English. And she was cute. She was good looking. I said, who better to have as your spokesperson? Because not only can she speak and she's pleasant to watch, but when people walk in the restaurant during the prime dinner hours, she was the hostess there. What a kick that is, you know. Mm-hmm. So this doesn't have to be you. If you're one of these people like, oh, I could never get up in front of people and speak, that's okay. Don't let that deter you, because your business can still benefit. But that's one of the things about the modern wave of business is in the press and media, is everything is so much more direct and streamlined now. Yes, reporters do get hundreds of emails all the time, a day or a week. But for a well-crafted email or a pitch or a press release or a story idea, if it's presented right and it's got the hook and the angle that they need, it's in their language, and they can see how it could relate or benefit their audience, their readers, listeners, or viewers, then you're gold. And the other thing with the press and media is once you become a media guest that does well, mm-hmm. they will want you back. You know, when I first released the book, absolutely. Press and Media for Entrepreneurs and Small Businesses, it was about how to get in the media, how to utilize this. And when people did the print and magazine newspaper interviews, they were great because the reporter would take the information, do the interview, and then craft this beautiful story. Sometimes they would take things out of context or misquote. But when they did TV or radio, some of these people kind of froze up and weren't that smooth or comfortable. Right. So I took the book off the market. That's when I made it into a course. And I added some modules to it, including how to prepare to be media ready, how to prepare to be interviewed, how to become a good media guest, and then how to become a return media guest over and over again. And some people think of, oh, I was in the local Times newspaper, they had me, so they won't need me again. That's not true. It's almost just the opposite. That's why it seems like the same people in your market are in the media all the time. There's a reason for that, and we tap into that. But I think that's actually
a really good point. I know someone who's one of the things that she does. She does many things, and one of the things that she talks about is body language. And I have seen her on so many television shows. Whenever some celebrity couple or some famous people and. What's going on at this public event, they'll have her on and they'll be like, analyze their body language. And she'll say, you know, like how they're standing or looking at each other or look at their feet or whatever. So and she does it often and in a lot of different markets. So if you get known for something, for a niche thing that is a repeatable thing, then you actually could have a repeatable presence in the media.
Well, and you just touched on another difference between the old media and the new. Everything was news, factual, for many, many, many decades. Now, though, with the exception of sports, sports would always have post-game commentators and wrap-ups, and the next Monday morning they would review the things on the air. And on the, you know. Now they're doing that for fashion. They're doing that for new product releases. They're doing, Oprah did that with the book club when she started. And there, so there is much more commentary, and there are some people that are getting media spots. They use my system to get in the media. And if you're a good media guest, which is what we kind of create with you, train you to be, they want you to come back more and more. And then at a certain point, we show you how to take that to them and say, I'd like to discuss with you about this being a regular segment, maybe the first Friday of every month, or maybe every Friday, or, you know, so, well, and it can be a news. I've got a person in the parenting space that was writing articles. She started writing articles for a local parents magazine. They loved it. They said, ah, if you got any more, send them to us. Oh, back to school's coming up. Can you send us an article to get your kids ready for back to school? She did that. After about the sixth or seventh one, she said, I want to propose that you give me my own column, and I'll do something every month. And we helped her to do that, because she had tried it once on her own and got nowhere. And we kind of cleaned up what she was doing and gave her a different model to approach with. And they bit right away. What a great idea. Oh my gosh, how soon can we start this? Da, 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 da. These are our deadlines. Can you meet our deadlines? These are our themes, you know. And that's how it starts. And you're so right. And that's another trend in current media that might not have been around 10 or 12, 15 years ago, you know.
Right. That's awesome. So I did promise that I would twist your arm for a celebrity story. And I looked at your list, and maybe you can tell us a different one later. However, I am all about snacks. And one of my favorite foods on the planet is popcorn. And I saw the name Orville Redenbacher on your bio. And if you are too young to know who Orville Redenbacher is, maybe you can tell us a little bit about who Orville Redenbacher is. However, he was this little old man. He came on TV with a bow tie and he made popcorn. And it's actually I am like pretty solid fan of Orville Redenbacher. That is my go-to brand even today. So It works. So tell us an Orville Redenbacher story.
Okay. Well, let me tell you about Orville real quick. Orville, it was a real person. This wasn't a character made up for the media. And he was, and to this day, and I have met thousands and thousands of people, and I can honestly tell you, Orville was one of the most intelligent people I've ever met on a single subject, and his happened to be popcorn. He was, and I didn't even know this existed till I met Orville, but he was a popcorn farmer. He was so into hybrids, and he would tell me, he said, Rob, you know, popcorn, the right kernel that you're talking about, we have humidity and the moisture in the Midwest that we don't have anywhere else. That's why Indiana is one of the greatest places on the planet to grow popcorn, and da, da, da. And he just knew everything about popcorn, how to make most. His first challenge was how to make the most kernels pop. Because back in the day, if you use, regardless of your method, whether it was the Jiffy Pop, remember Jiffy Pop?
I remember Jiffy Pop.
Whether it was that or the hot air poppers or whatever, there were always unpopped kernels in the
100%.
Bottom. Yep. So his big challenge, one of his big challenges was to minimize that. And to do that, it had to do with the hydration rate, which allowed them to pop at a certain degree. You could get to that degree in a certain amount of time, and so on and so forth. Well, then big industry started coming out with microwave popcorn. The microwave came out in 67, although it didn't catch on that early. The quest for microwave popcorn started, and Orville didn't like that. He was kicking and screaming against microwave popcorn. Yet, as a popcorn farmer and an intelligence man of popcorn intelligence, he loved the challenge. He took the challenge, and that's really when microwave popcorn took off, is when Orville got involved and did the same thing. How to get the right size for the fluffiest kernel, the least amount of this. Oh my gosh. And he just, I've never seen anybody get so passionate and excited about what they did as Orville. And of course, when it came time to go take this wider, they wanted him to be the spokesperson because nobody could speak about it with a spokesperson or a celebrity figure could say the words, but they didn't have the passion in his eyes like Orville did. Mm-hmm. And he was very serious. He didn't have the best sense of humor, because I remember saying to him, Orville, between you and I, is that a clip-on bow tie, or do you really tie that thing every day? And oh no, I've been wearing a bow tie since I was 7, and he could tie a bow tie just about as well as he knew popcorn. But no, he was very serious. He finally embraced being the media person for it and using press and media to create the character and to spread the knowledge. And he actually founded October as not National Popcorn Poppin' Month, something he created, because I'm like, why October? You would think the summer movie season, movie popcorn, you know. He goes, no, more popcorn is sold in the fall for Halloween and popcorn balls and this and this and that. And mm-hmm. people use it in the old days, they used to string popcorn strands to decorate your Christmas tree.
Yep, done that.
You know, like the garland, right? So he could tie popcorn into anything. If you were getting married, I guarantee if you knew Orville, you'd have popcorn at your wedding in some form, shape, or another.
So that's just like a perfect example of what you were talking about earlier, that you can make anything fit everything. If you step forward as that expert and you have mm-hmm. a mindset of how do I make my expertise fit into every area that's appropriate in every season, in every whatever. This is the perfect example of exactly what you were talking about, because that's what Orville Redenbacher did.
Yes. Yeah. And we helped him get on, you know, do interviews and be good at it. Cause he was, like I say, he was kind of straight and monotone-ish and didn't have a lot of flair to his personality. And some of the people were in like his publicist, his PR firm were saying, Orville, you gotta pump it up. You gotta have a little pizzazz. And I was just the opposite. I'm like, hey, this is who you are. That's how you should, and your message, people are focusing on your message, not your flair. Where when I worked with Susie Orman, it was just the opposite. She was a waitress that was kind of spunky or sassy, kind of, you know, witty. And when she decided she wanted to go into finances, all of her regular customers at the diner that she worked at knew about this. And long story short, one of her customers said, I think she needed like 50 grand or 20 grand to start. He said, I will give you the money to go pursue this, but on one condition. You don't let the guys bring you down, because it was a real male-dominated field back then. Correct. And secondly, you've got to do it with the same sass and spunk that you work on these tables here. And that's why Susie Orman has always been a call it like you see it. Mm-hmm. She got in with Merrill Lynch as her first job, had a problem with Merrill Lynch because they lost a lot of her money. So she sued Merrill Lynch. She sued her own employer. Oh my, what a great story. But anyway, she used the media. She used her sass and her spunk, and that's been her brand ever since.
I think that what you just described with both those people mm-hmm. is the, and it's the word we hear all the time now, authenticity. And they had authenticity. They were who they were, who they are in that moment. And that's what caught the zeitgeist. That's what brought them in. That's why people connected with them. That's why I remember Orville Redenbacher.
Right.
Be yourself, be who you are. I think a lot of times we, want to be, whenever we get into, have a camera in front of us or somebody, something's important. If it's important, we often will change how we show up and what we're doing. And mm-hmm. that's actually the opposite. And a lot of times that's nerves or you're overthinking and that kind of stuff. But anytime you can step into who you are, like on this podcast, I don't do any editing. I am who I am. I show up as me. I'm loud. I'm I talk fast. That's who I am. And can I change it whenever I'm speaking in front of audiences and stuff? Yes. This is my podcast. I'm showing up as me. And this is my the way I'm stepping forward into the world. And I think that the most powerful way to do that is be yourself, because sometimes that thing that you don't like about yourself, or that you think is too much, or it's too too something, too little, too short, too tall, too loud, whatever it is, a lot of times that's actually the thing that you'll get known for, because you don't sound like everybody else. You don't look like everybody else. You are who you are. So that's what I'm hearing from what you're saying. How do you, what's your advice in when it comes to media?
Well, and there's another example of old media versus new. In the old days, you had to fit that anchor, that news person, you know, that, yeah, that stern framing of what they were supposed to be. I will tell you, as you, I'm listening to you talk and the things you're saying, it reminds me a lot of Oprah. I did the Oprah show in her first year, and she took over. Most people don't know this. The Oprah show, she was, there was a morning show in Chicago called AM Chicago. Mm-hmm, right. The host left to go out west, and she took over that hosting job. So it was actually, she first started by hosting AM Chicago, but she was so authentically herself that Chicago really just latched on to her. I mean, it was like, oh my gosh, this girl is real. She calls it as she sees it. She's got the same mindset that we have. You know, she's not like up here and everything else. And granted, she wasn't the Oprah that we know yet. So I did her show, and I saw this from the inside, not just in her, but in her whole operation. And if she was shaking up the industry a little bit, it's like, who is this girl in Chicago? Well, then the whole thing took off. Then the second time I was on Oprah, things had changed. The first time was before the internet. I think it was 85, somewhere back in there. The second time, the internet was out. Oprah was the Oprah that we now know. Uh-huh. Still authentically herself, but with more power now. So when you have authenticity and you gain some credibility and power, oh my goodness, the world is your oyster. And but she was the same Oprah. And as I'm sitting there talking to her, like I'm talking to you on her show, it was just a great, fun conversation. And she got so excited, and she had later said that the episode I was on was one of her favorite ones because of some of the topics we talked about and stuff. But anyway, I get done, and then we hung around for a few minutes, hugged and kissed, said goodbye, and you know, she was great because we had a great show. I was high because it's like, I got to do Oprah again, you know. and she's huge now, right? She's syndicated. But that's the thing I didn't realize in the power of the media again is a few days later when it aired, I started getting all kinds. My phone was ringing off the hook, mail, everything. Because you don't realize when you're talking like we are now that Oprah is seen in 142 countries, 20 or 30 million people a day, and people saw me as a guest, and they were wanting, again, your credibility, their, you know, taps into that of the show. If you make it in Oprah's Favorite Things or Oprah's Book Club, oh, what a boost that can be to, right. It's like a comedian being on the old Johnny Carson show. Your life could change overnight, you know.
Right.
And mine did. I went from a national business to an international business because of Oprah in that one episode. So, but I think that's it, being authentic to yourself.
Yeah. And just to jump in there, when you make these steps and you make these strides into becoming more visible, you also have to think about what is that impact on your business? Because now, once you get this exposure, it's going to improve your business. And you also need to make sure that you're taking care of your structures, your systems, your processes to improve that. Because I've heard that there are people that go on Shark Tank and they suddenly yes. blow up, right? And the infrastructure within their business can't withstand the popularity. Right. They can't keep up. So just keep that in the back of your mind as you're doing these things, that you need to level up your business side, even as you're getting more exposure and doing all of these things. Keep that as part of the process that you're doing, so that you don't get to the place where you can't fulfill orders or function or whatever, right. It's not too much. So it's a hand in hand kind of a business building along with the media.
Yeah. Well, and you make a good point there, because Shark Tank is a great use of press and media to get exposure for your business and of course funding. But and I talk about using press and media as a business tool. Mm-hmm. But press and media is also used in non-business ways. It's not just to promote your business. If you have a message, a cause, a nonprofit, I don't know how many years ago this was, maybe the 90s, but John Walsh started using the press and media to help catch fugitives on America's Most Wanted. Yeah. He would profile them, put their pictures up there, their stories, give a few pointers on them. And the American public were finding them and turning people in. Another thing I remember being part of is when Elizabeth Smart was missing. Mm-hmm. And whenever you watch like a Dateline, a 2020 or a 48 Hours, when somebody's missing, one of the things they always say, if they talk to the investigators, is you got to keep it in the media. You got to keep it in front of people. Don't let this story fade away, you know, and that helps people volunteer to search. And it really kicks things up. And if there's a person at fault, like a kidnapper or something, it really puts a lot of pressure on them. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of good uses for press and media other than just business. But it's something that's, you know, people like John and the Sharks and everybody have found a great way to utilize in entrepreneurship or in trying to apprehend fugitives. Even Dog the Bounty Hunter brought a lot of exposure to the world of bounty hunters. You know, a lot right. of us have never incurred that and try how he tracked him down to a lot of people, whether you liked him or not. It was just fascinating that, holy cow, that's how these guys think. This is how they talk to people. They get tips. They, you know, and they stake out the whole process. It's great use of press and media. So I agree with you.
Absolutely. Rob, talk to us a little bit about, we've talked about the media and press, and we discussed before we jumped on that is just one of the pillars that you utilize within your framework. Can you just talk briefly about some of the others, a little bit about what you do with all of that?
Yeah, I have my signature program is called the Expert Entrepreneur, and that is for people, like I said, like the dry cleaner didn't want to be Orville Redenbacher. He just wanted to be a sustained and dominant business in his marketplace, his local marketplace. Other people do want national or international fame and credibility. And the media can help you attain both of those and everything in between. So I think when I started working with these people that wanted to use press and media as their platform for their expertise, this coincided very closely with another media phenomena that happened at the time, which was the infomercial. Mm-hmm. And two of the people that I knew from those days, one of them was Carlton Sheets, who had a real estate investing course, and he was all over overnight and late night TV. And another one was Susan Powder, this fitness girl, white spiked hair that kept yelling, "Stop the insanity!" And Suzanne Summers and her Thighmaster, all of these people use the media to promote their product, make them a celebrity. And this goes back, Jane Fonda and her workout, and Richard Simmons and his Sweating to the Oldies. I worked with Richard. And they use this to establish their platform, their credibility, and, of course, sell a lot of products. So I think in working with those people, I determined that there were 11 things that it takes to be a true expert. Today, a lot of people just coin themselves the term of expert or a coach or whatever. But to be a true expert, it all came down to 11 points. And of the 11 pillars that I have, one of them is press and media. I feel like to be a true expert in your area, there's certain things you need. You need to be able to speak. You should be a published author, whether it's a book or a course. You have to be able to share and teach your expertise with people. Usually you have to build a community. And of course, you need to utilize the press and media. And although there are varying degrees, local, national, international, I believe that's a big part of all of this. And in today's niche down world, if you were to do it the way that the gurus tell you, you would need one course and one mentor to get for speaking, another one to be a published author, another one to, you know, use webinars and online media to build your list and lead generation and all that, and then one for marketing and then one for selling. And there's just so many things that it's like, okay, if you take each course and say each course costs $3,000 and it takes you 3 to 6 months to master, there's 100 different things you could use in your business. SEO, AdWords, website development. I talk about this in my course. It would take you like 100 years and I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of dollars to try to get this. I don't like niching down to single topic courses. So the Expert Entrepreneur, since it was started, covered all 11 things. I've had people tell me it's like 11 courses in one. And press and media is one of those. And one of them that the people experience the most success with. Because not everybody wants to be an expert. They just want to boost for their business and get their word out there. It's one of the things that it's available two ways. It's available as a course where you can take it and do it on your own. Or if you want help, I've got it available with 3 months coaching to kind of work with you and guide you through those first few months. Because most people get their first media coverage with my system in the first 30, 60 days, sometimes 90 if they're a slow mover. If they're aggressive, it can be within 10 days, And I help them do that. And then there's a process that happens. They get all excited. They got their first media coverage. Then after a few days of that, they start reflecting on it, thinking, oh, I forgot to say this, or I didn't do this right, or I could have done this better. And then they kind of start editing themselves. And that's part of the process to becoming a better media guest. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the key is ideally, if you want to be an expert, I think having all 11 of these pillars in place and developed will be what you need to do. One of them is putting all of these together into a business operational system that works together. If you get this guy's marketing course and this guy's website course and this guy's social media course, they don't always sync. They don't always play well together. Mm-hmm. And in my program, all 11 of them fit nicely into a business operational system. So it's really a true business development system. And this is what I started when I started working with the entertainers and everybody to create the business behind their skills, talents, and abilities. And one of the interesting things that happened is entertainers would try to adapt conventional business to what they were doing, and it didn't work well. Mm-hmm. And I believe that entertainers had a different set of rules, business rules, than conventional business. So that's why I created my proprietary system for entertainers. And one of the things I did not expect was as my entertainers referred me to other people that were non-entertainers, my methods, my systems for this entertainment business work famously for non-entertainer businesses, regular mm-hmm. conventional businesses. Didn't work the other way, but this way it worked well. So that just opened me up to working with so many different types of people. And that's kind of where I am today, 38 years later.
Awesome. Thank you so much. This has been so much information and so entertaining. Thank you for entertaining us and telling us those stories. I'm sure that you have so many more. However, I know that you have a gift for our listeners. So I always want to know if you would please tell us about that.
Yeah, I find when I'm exposed to somebody for the first time and we talk about press and media, we're just scratching the surface here. A lot of people don't know what it is, or it's like, what is that? I never thought of the press and media in that way. So as a free gift for your audience, what I'd like to offer everyone is a special gift, which is a report that I created called Getting Started with Press and Media, free tips, strategies, and more that you can utilize. It shows you how to utilize the power of the press and media in your business and to better familiarize you with the benefits of press and media marketing and promotion. Today, what we've talked about might have triggered some thoughts in some people. And I think getting this report will kind of like, I never thought of that. I didn't think of it that way. Or it gets your like you say, the mindset and the juices flowing about, I could use press and media this way. I never thought about that. There's no reason that this company has to be the prominent one and everybody knows about in my market. I can rise above that. And the media is great for positioning, business mm-hmm. positioning. And, all of this is kind of covered in here. So it's a great introduction and some insider tips if you want to try this on your own. And if you want to work with me, it's got information on how you can do that as well and a couple of different options there. So it's available at the expert.com. Got to put the in there. And when you go to that page, there's a big red badge on the right side that you can request your free report, and it'll be in your inbox in no time at all.
Awesome. So what we're going to do is we are going to actually, if you didn't write that down, we are going to put in our community, the Profit Connectors Club. That's profitconnectors.club is the URL, and connectors because you are the one connecting. So this profitconnectors.club, and it's a free community. You just log in, and inside that community, we are going to put contact information for Rob, his bio, his free gift, and information about this episode, as well as all of the other episodes that we've published and all of those experts' gifts and contact information. So that's where you can go to find all of the information from all of the guests that we've had on our podcast. And thank you, Rob. This has been a very entertaining episode. And I thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you for having me, and keep up the good work of what you're doing. A lot of times people don't take time out to pat somebody on the back saying, hey, you are doing fantastic, and you are doing better than fantastic. I think this is great. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Rob. Thank you all for joining us here today. I encourage you to keep showing up. Your future self will thank you. And remember, it's your business and your impact. Go make it count. Thanks for being here. Hey, Profit Connectors, that's it for another Profit Connections podcast. Thank you for joining us. If you're ready to make moves and connections that take your business to the next level, want to get to know us and our speakers better, and get your gifts and resources, head over to the website profitconnectors.club. That's profitconnectors.club, and get your goodies right now.